I'm Rodrigo Núñez, and this is El Podcast. Neither here, neither there, pero en los dos. Hoy vamos a hablar de cuando ser pocho se siente chido. So we got our first two-parter in El Podcast, and we're going to look at Spanish. Pochos hablando español. Some of us speak it all the time, some of us speak it now and then, and some of us rarely speak it, if at all, but we are all pochos. And this is going to be a two-parter because language is a big deal. I mean, we can't even form thoughts without language. And it can be something that unites us or something that separates us. And sometimes both. It can be something that brings immense joy and also intense pain. So speaking Spanish and what it means for Pocho culture is a deep topic that could be covered in like a million episodes. But for now, I'll just do two. And the first part deals with the pochismo of using Spanish when English won't do. And the second deals with the pochismo of not growing up fully speaking Spanish. Both episodes feature the voices of pochos and pochas from all over the country and all different backgrounds. And I'm so grateful for all of them. So I hope you enjoy these two episodes. ¿Listos? Vámonos pues. I'm incredibly fortunate in that I grew up in a Spanish-speaking home. My first language is Spanish, so I know Spanish pretty well. Or so I thought. I can still remember the first time I heard the word bolígrafo. I was stunned. I had no idea what that word meant. Worst of all, I couldn't even get the meaning out of like context clues because bolígrafo... Okay, there's grafo, like grifo, like a marihuano. And then the first part is boli, like the ice cream. So it's ice cream for potheads. No, it turns out it's a pen. Ah, una pluma. And since then, I've been confronted with the fact that I know Spanish, but I don't really know Spanish. Like I tried to read Don Quixote in Spanish, and I think I got through a chapter, and it took me like 3 months. I'm a pocho. It is what it is. I read faster in English. I watch a lot of English TV and listen to English music. I even know English idioms like a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, which is straight out of Poor Richard's Almanac. That's Ben Franklin, baby. That's old school American English. However, I know enough Spanish and there's enough Spanish in me that every once in a while, I'm trying to communicate something and English just won't do. For example, maybe I'm trying to be more emotional. Maybe I'm trying to be funny. Maybe there's just so much to say and it'd be too wordy in English. So I drop a no, pussy, to put a bow on a conversation and it just works. And it's time to no longer be ashamed of that. Because dropping Spanish in the middle of an English sentence isn't a bastardization of either English or Spanish. And it's instead a beautiful new creation. Rather than feel bad about how we can't fully express ourselves in English, I think we have to realize that we have whatever level of Spanish we have at our disposal for a reason. And that employing it whenever we can expands our world and our language, rather than diminishing our language. And I want to celebrate it. I know you that are listening right now know what I'm talking about, because I made a call out on Twitter for the audience to share some of your favorite words or phrases in Spanish to use when English just doesn't convey what we're trying to say. And so many of you responded that I'm going to share some right now. So Cristian Morales at CXH Morales said, déjate de rodeos was his favorite phrase because stop beating around the bush sounds odd. And I gotta agree. Mario Cortez at MA Cortez 619 said his favorite was, así pasa cuando sucede. And that's one of those bow tying phrases that's just so perfect. It's just like, what do you even add on to that, right? G Huerta at Narbig said, trasquilado or trasquilada was their favorite word, which remains the best way to describe a messed up haircut. Because doesn't it just sound cooler than messed up haircut? Sí, y te dejan bien, te trasquilaron bien feo. Pedro Dorantes, at Pedro Dorantes 98, said, "Este vato," which is just like a perfect way to say this guy. But it feels better, especially because there's an E there that's not really there, but it is. I mean, can you hear it? Este vato. Similarly, Fidel Martinez at FeedMart85 shared one of his favorites, which also has an existent but not existent part, and that's the phrase telosico, which is missing the cállate telosico. And it's one of those things that it just hits so good when it's employed perfectly. He also shared one of my favorites, which is tanto pedo para cagar aguado, which, if we're gonna literally translate, means so much farting to poop water. Yeah, it doesn't sound good, but it kind of means that you were making such a big deal about something and it was totally underwhelming. But see how in Spanish it just sounds better? Michael Lozano at Chicano Chico shared his favorite, which is a classic, and that's no manches. And that just can be used for everything, right? And Jacob Perez at Jacob62840074 shared his favorite, which is caile, which is a great way to say come through when you're inviting someone over, but it's one word, so it's even more efficient than come through or the alternative, which is please attend my house, good sir or madam. Caile is just way better. Rosie at Real Cora Cora hit me with an intense one. She said, "Cría cuervos para que te saquen los ojos," which is right out of a novela, but it's kind of like, you know, that whole story of the scorpion and the frog. Like, don't be surprised when a crow takes your eye out after you helped him out. It's super intense, right? But it's such a good phrase, also. Romeo Guzman at Pocho Grater MX said his favorite is gol de honor, which I guess is like a Pyrrhic victory, I guess, or it's. A gol de honor is when a team is getting demolished by another and they manage to at least score one. It's like, hey, you got that one. Andrea Sanchez Aguirre at Aguirre Learns also hit me with a good one, which is pendejitis. And it's that giddy feeling you get at some point around 1 a.m. when you're with your friends or your cousins or whatever, and you can't stop giggling and doing stupid things. And she says, goofy just doesn't hit the same, or a case of the dumbs would be the translation. And I gotta agree, it just doesn't work like pendejitis does. There's just so many examples and so many stories behind the Spanish phrases or words we can drop. So I asked some people if they'd be willing to record their favorites and share them with us. So right now, let's do that. I'll let them take it away. So here's some listeners of El Podcast sharing their favorite Spanish phrases or words to employ and why.
So I try to remember the first time I heard le echa mucha crema a sus tacos, but I guess it's always been around because I couldn't pinpoint a time where I haven't used it or heard it used. I know that as a kid, I would hear it and think about, oh, what is it that person, you know, is doing that they're saying that about them? Siempre así como nivel de viboreo, como que calladito. It wasn't something you said very loud, totally, you know, judging, juzgando, but it was that kind of vibe. I think, you know, an example would be like if si alguien andaba presumiendo algo caro que habían comprado o que era así como que muy exagerado, que no necesitaban, es cuando salía eso en mi familia, le salía el, ay, ¿cómo le echan crema a sus tacos? No sé si es porque como grupo, como comunidad, estamos enfocados en ser humildes, pero es como que decir, ay, esa gente se cree mucho, como que exageran. En mi familia también es muy intercambiable con la expresión, ¿cómo tira quick? No sé si porque son innecesarios el quick y la crema como comida, pero algo muy, muy común. And I guess it's not so much that you think someone's making something up. I want to be clear that it's not like you're calling somebody a liar, but it's more that you think that they're going over the top and, you know, bragging, and that's a big no-no. So And I really love that it's hard to translate it. When I hear somebody say that, I like immediately know, like, oh, it's one of my people. And that it's definitely, like, I understand the context so well. And I feel like it gives me an insight into the person, makes me feel connected instantly to them. So that's my little bit about echarle crema a sus tacos. Thank you.
Here are my thoughts on my favorite Spanish phrase. No mames, güey. If you've ever spent time with my family and I, especially my dad, you know that we use Mexican swear words freely. If you ask my friends what their fondest memory is with my family, number one will always be how my dad and I talk to each other. We call each other güey, cabrón. Many think it's disrespectful and that we shouldn't speak like that. But the truth is, we speak to each other that way because we're comfortable with each other. We have a relationship beyond father and son. One of the phrases that often is used is no mames, güey. I use this phrase in my day-to-day. When my dad asked me to book another Lyft ride for him, no mames, güey, tienes que aprender a usar el app. Or I eat a great meal, no mames, güey, esos tacos estaban perrotes. I love to use this phrase because it's versatile. No mames, güey can be used when you're sad, surprised, happy, angry, or any other feeling, really. No mames, güey can bring you together as a group, community, family. Like during the 2006 World Cup match between Mexico and Argentina. I had just come back from college for summer break and met my dad at a bar in Juarez to watch the match. It was exciting and Mexico was outperforming their expectations. Everyone at the bar was having a blast. At the 98th minute, seconds away from going to penalty kicks, Argentina dropped that crazy goal on Mexico. Stunned and in shock, everyone turned to each other and said, no mames, güey. It brought us together in our disappointment. You can also use it to celebrate accomplishments. They were the first words out of my mouth when my dad called me in the fall of 2016 to tell me that he had been inducted into the Juarez Hall of Fame. No mames, güey. Qué fregón. Felicidades. No mames, güey is a phrase I look to use well into my old age. No mames, güey. Esos pinches mocosos no se quitan de mi lawn. No mames, güey. Ya se acabó mi tiempo.
The word, the phrase that I've increasingly started to use is imaginémonos cosas chingonas, which come from Chicharito before the 2014 World Cup, when he was asked about Mexico's chances of winning the World Cup by David Feitelson. And I think it captures the positivity, the other side of the Mexican-American experience of, you know, you not necessarily negative, but more kind of fatalistic in a way of like, lo que Dios quiera, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, almost like you have no control over this. And Chicharito saying that just was the opposite of that. The positivity, the let's imagine beautiful fucking things, which is probably the literal translation of it. And just how great of a phrase that is, that it could be used for anything, right? It could be for your own goals, or it could be almost like a type of lifestyle you almost want to live, that, you know, it's almost like the equivalent of every once in a while you'll hear or you'll see people on Twitter talk about, I am my ancestors' wildest dreams or something. Or even a couple years ago when Kevin Durant won the MVP and everybody was telling everyone else kind of like, you're the real MVP kind of stuff after he made that speech about his mom. I kind of see that with imaginemos cosas chingonas, that it could mean anything. It could apply to anything. And I mean, in this case, since it is a World Cup year, you know, maybe this is the year. And even though it's not really realistic necessarily or likely to happen, you know, it's there, right? Another saying that's kind of related to this, I kind of see is almost like the evolution of this phrase of el soñar no cuesta, soñar es gratis. And so yeah, that's why I really like this phrase, imaginémonos cosas chingonas.
the words that just, you have to go to Spanish because they don't exist in English, that I like to reference is empalagar, when something is way too sweet. There's no word that captures it the way empalagar does. Another one is coraje, when something just pisses you off. That there's no word in English that captures it the way coraje does. Another expression in Spanish that I rather do it in Spanish than in English because there isn't an English substitute is me enchilé, when something is just way too spicy. So empalagar, enchilar, y coraje are the words that I think are just better in Spanish.
Seas mamón is my favorite Spanish phrase to drop into conversation and chat. Like most Spanish sayings, it covers several different contexts. And that kind of flexibility is endearing to me. I drop it when someone's being ridiculous, when someone's being foolish and dumb, when a coworker's acting a little extra, or my boss sets up an 8:30 meeting on a Monday or at 2 p.m. on a Friday, or when my close friend shares his favorite Selena Gomez's pictures, or when current events are incredulous, or just when I want to generate some meme content. There's nothing appropriate or formal about the expression. You'd never catch me saying this around my mom or at a dinner table, but I love that it's part of my inner circle vocabulary. And just provides that little something that English can't, because when you drop it, it carries with it a long list of emotions and facial expressions.
Growing up, Mexican, Pocho, Chicano felt like dirty words. A description of inferiority, mediocrity, something that was used to disparage someone you didn't like. Instances of kids, and in one particular case, a grown woman at the Ross on the West Side, yelling, "Go back to Mexico, you damn Mexican," flood my mind when I think of my very first experiences in this country. As an impressionable 11-year-old, being Mexican in all of its derivatives became the thing to avoid, despite it being all I knew. For years, I worked to suppress my Mexican heritage, doing better in English class than native speakers, trying my best to learn correct syntax and grammar, and shedding any lingering threads of a Hispanic accent, consuming all gringo media and leaving Canal 5 behind. Although I was known to sit through my mom's marathon viewings of Mujer, Casos de la Vida Real, that show was like tales from the crypt for the unsuspecting kids of bored Mexican housewives. Every episode ending with people either dying, usually from AIDS, or facing a bleak future, usually AIDS. However, despite my efforts to become the all-American kid, there was one quirk I could never shake, the one phrase that still follows me around, even in adulthood. "Ay güey" has always been for me a sign of shock, startlement, pure unaltered surprise, a statement so all-encompassing that no other comes close to taking its place. And believe me, I tried. The one phrase that could betray my true form. Or so I thought. Turns out Mexican is not a bad word, but rather a key component of the person I am, formed with rich experiences, both good and bad. I have since left the border, taking up residency in a place 11-year-old me would have approved of, maybe even be proud of. However, every time the Uber driver makes a sudden stop, a Bumble date's hand takes a wrong turn, or even during a particularly challenging workout, two words make it clear that that little Mexican girl never left. She just grew up. And to that I say, "Ay güey."
I want to thank those who contributed, which are the following in the order that they appeared.
Daina Muñez.
Hi, my name is Raul Canales.
My name is Roberto Jose Andrade Franco.
My name is Brenda, and I'm with Tamarindo Podcast.
David Estrada.
Hi, I'm Joyce.
So once again, thanks to Daina, to Raul, to Roberto, to Brenda, to David, and to Joyce. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. So look, it doesn't matter at what level your Spanish is. If you're fortunate enough to lean on it to express whatever you're feeling, let it out. Use it. Dilo en Spanglish. No pasa nada. And if they don't like it, pues ni modo. Thanks for listening. That's it for this episode of El Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. This is part one of You Speak Español. Part two is dropping next week. And that's all about one of my least favorite phrases, no sabo kids. So yeah, it's a really, really good episode. I know you'll enjoy it. Come back next week. Share this episode with a friend. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or podchaser.com. And ahí nos vemos.
This is the Irrelevant Podcast Network. Thanks for listening.